Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 61 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Naya Andweza.
The county put forth a proposal as to what they would like to see this land used for.
Officials in McCreary County are discussing the future of a part of the Daniel Boone National Forest.
Kentucky is seeing benefits after the federal legislation of hemp.
Sewer line breakages in Martin County are prompting health concerns.
A Johnson County man is keeping an eye on honeybee swarms.
A statewide campaign is highlighting the dangers of e-cigarettes.
In sports, MSU softball drops game one against Austin Peay.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 40 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Kentucky U.S. Senator Rand Paul recently called a community meeting in McCreary County to discuss use of a section of the Daniel Boone National Forest. Earlier this year, Paul introduced an amendment to the Natural Resources Management Act to sell a small part of the forest, but it was eventually struck down and didn't make it into the final bill. Spectrum News was at the meeting where Paul discussed what he'd like to see done with a parcel of land in the forest.
640 million acres. Can we not have back corner, you know, on a busy road to put up a Cracker Barrel or a gas station or something like that that would bring jobs to the community?
Ken Arney of the United States Forest Service said a special use permit for a section of land could be issued. After the meeting, Paul said he's going to give the county and Forest Service 6 months and then get an update, saying he was pleased with the dialogue from the forum.
A proposed regulation on the tattoo industry would prohibit the tattooing of scarred tissue. A tattoo artist based in Louisville says the proposed regulation could cause problems for cancer and trauma survivors. Louisa Kleinert specializes in the tattooing of scars. She speaks out against the relation with LEX 18.
If they are going to regulate this, they need to regulate it with the health and wellness of people in mind and not trying to ban it entirely.
Kleinert says she hopes people speak out against the regulation. A spokesman for the Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services says public comments are being accepted through the end of May.
Since its federal legalization, nearly 100 counties in the Commonwealth have begun growing hemp, a number nearly as high as the declining number of tobacco producers in the state. Senator Mitch McConnell and State Agriculture Commissioner Ryan Quarles were at Gincana's Hemp Research Center in Clark County Tuesday. McConnell tells WKYT he has high hopes for the crop.
In 1997, there were 46,000 tobacco producers. In 2017, 20 years later, 2,600. I hope that hemp will be for us someday what tobacco was at its peak.
With hemp's legalization, Gincana is hoping to now mass-produce the crop in order to further genetic research, breeding, cultivation, and harvesting programs.
Martin County sewer lines have broken three times this week. Sewer water from Collins Creek Road pours onto the street, in lawns, and into a stream nearby. Resident Bill Murphy tells WYMT he hopes the city will make major repairs to stop the issue.
Yes, it should be a permanent fix. They should take the time and the resource to repair it one time instead of three or four times, which would cost more money, more manpower in the long run.
Officials say the problem is not happening in any other areas. Murphy is concerned that exposure to the sewage could be harmful to the health of area residents.
Honeybee swarm season is well underway, and it's keeping a Johnson County man very busy. Jason Conley is locally known as the Bee Man. He's been a beekeeper for over 30 years. He spends the spring and summer seasons relocating honeybee swarms. Conley tells EKB-TV honeybee swarms often occur after a new queen bee takes her mating flight.
She came back and she started establishing her home. And the old queen has said, okay, this place is yours. It's time for me to go. And she's taken off. Sometimes it can be 4 or 5 pounds of bees.
In recent years, the population of honeybees has been on a global decline. Because of this, Conley encourages anyone who sees a swarm in eastern Kentucky to contact him as soon as possible. He can be reached through his Facebook page, The Bee Man Jason Conley.
middle and high school students from around the state will be featured in a new statewide campaign to warn young people about the dangers of vaping and smoking e-cigarettes. WMKY's Grant Johnson has the story.
The Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky campaign was unveiled at a news conference center Monday morning. The Foundation's campaign will be called I Just Didn't Know. According to Lex 18, the campaign will include several public service announcements featuring young Kentuckians sharing what they've learned about the dangers of e-cigarettes. According to the CDC, most e-cigarettes contain nicotine, which is highly addictive and can harm adolescent brain development. For WMKY News, I'm Grant Johnson.
The East Kentucky Leadership Conference took place this week in Harlan County. The event honored men and women who make the region a better place. The theme of the conference this year focused on growing a 21st century economy. Vice Chair of the EKL Board, Carolyn Sundy, tells WYMT she wants to help make people proud to be from the region.
I do take such pride in being from Eastern Kentucky, and I think that people need to see people like me that's living and staying and has sustained here.
The people being honored have built houses for the homeless, taught science, math, and technology, and made advances in the arts, technology, and public and private industry. We'll be back with more news right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University, offering a weekly summer camp program for children ages 5 through 12. Open to the community May 20th through August 2nd, an inclusive, fun, and active camp program run by certified counselors. Space is limited. More information by calling Zach Martin at 783-5284 or online at morehedstate.edu/recreation.
Kentucky's Democratic gubernatorial hopefuls squared off in their first public debate Wednesday night at Transylvania University. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
Attorney General Andy Beshear, House Minority Floor Leader Rocky Adkins, and former State Auditor Adam Edelin made their respective cases Wednesday night to be the Democratic nominee in this fall's governor's race. Each weighed in on the state's pension crisis. Adkins believes the 2013 pension reforms are working, and as governor, he would advocate that lawmakers stay the course.
Numbers don't lie. Since we put it in place, basically, KRS, Kentucky Retirement System, over the last 2 years has earned over $2.4 billion. Kentucky Teacher Retirement, year before last, earned over 15.5%. And last year, Kentucky Teacher Retirement earned 18.4%. Keep the 13 reforms.
Edelin pointed to prior mismanagement and neglect as the reason for the current crisis.
It depends on which pension system you're talking about, whether it be the teacher pension system that was fundamentally well-run. The issue is the teachers paid their 13% in every month and the politicians did not. The bigger issue is on the Kentucky retirement system side, which was a playground for good old boys, where political appointees went, were wined and dined by Wall Street, and who weren't looking out for the best interest of pensioners in Kentucky and the people who pay the freight, the taxpayers. We need to reform the system and we need to make sure we fund it.
Beshear's pension reform plan calls for revenue increases to bolster the system.
It's time we created that dedicated revenue stream for our pensions. It's time we finally enacted expanded gaming, which would generate up to $550 million. It's time that we consider passing medicinal marijuana, which could generate even more. It's time we had a more fair tax structure, where if you buy a private jet, you have to pay that sales tax. And it's time we stop giving corporate tax breaks to companies that don't pay a living wage. All of those revenues are going to go towards our pension system.
Kentucky's primary election is May 21st. The winner will represent the Democratic Party in this fall's general gubernatorial election. Reporting for WNKY News, I'm Joe Lewis.
Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin's comments at a Rotary Club event in Louisville are gaining increased attention as he has tied a shooting involving a child to teacher sick outs in March. Teachers in Jefferson County Public Schools held sick outs during the legislative session as lawmakers considered legislation which would have impacted their district. Bevin said a child home alone shot another child during one of the teacher protests in Frankfort.
It's while we had people pretending to be sick when they weren't sick and leaving kids unattended to or in situations that they should not have been in. A little girl was shot, 7 years old, by another kid because they were somewhere that they weren't intended to be and because the parent didn't have any option.
The shooting Bevin is referring to happened in Shively on March 12th when a girl was put in intensive care after her 11-year-old brother accidentally shot her. Wave reported the uncle had guardianship of the kids and was outside the home doing work when the shooting occurred.
A Pike County man is dead in a freak accident at a truck's parts store. WMKY's Tanya Wallingford has the story.
Officials say the accident took place at the Elkhorn Truck Parts Shop Thursday afternoon at around 3 p.m. 47-year-old Donald Lee Belcher was working on replacing springs on a 10-wheeler truck when a tire exploded and hit him. The Pike County Coroner's Office pronounced Belcher dead at the scene. Bailey Funeral Home is handling Belcher's arrangements. For WMKY News, I'm Tandy Wallingford.
The Moorhead Police Department will host Rowan County's Prescription Take-Back Day tomorrow. Kentucky State Police and the Rowan County Sheriff's Office will join MPD from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. to accept unused or expired prescription medications. Trooper Scott Farrell says holding the event helps cut down on criminal activity.
It doesn't get in the wrong hands, you know, and it keeps it off the streets. We control how it's destroyed instead of, you know, before, years ago they used to just tell you to flush it, and it keeps it out of the water system now. It's actually taken to Indiana, and it's incinerated.
The last National Take Back Day brought in more than 900,000 pounds of unused or expired prescription medication. This brings the total amount of prescription drugs collected by DEA since the fall of 2010 to more than 10.8 million pounds.
A woman was rushed to the hospital today after being shot in Richmond. WKYT reports police were called to Fairview Avenue, where they found the victim. She was taken to UK Hospital. The seriousness of her injuries is unknown at this time. Officers are still searching for the suspect. An investigation is ongoing.
The Fayette County coroner has identified two victims of an early morning shooting. WKYT reports police were called to Race Street just before 4 a.m. today. They discovered two people suffering from gunshot wounds inside a parked car. They say 28-year-old Heather Grigsby and 44-year-old Shannon Goodwin died at the scene. Police say they have not found any witnesses and are searching for leads. This brings the number of homicides in Lexington this year to 10.
The mother of a child allegedly abused by a daycare worker in Wayne County is speaking out. Diana Willett is facing child abuse charges after a video showed her taunting a toddler with a doll. Deputies say the worker knew that the two-year-old had a fear of dolls, but shook a doll in her face anyway. Caitlin Joe, the toddler's mother, told WYMT her daughter's fear of dolls is due to her time spent at the daycare.
Like when she cries, then they, you know, get stuff out and scare her with it. And that's why she is scared of dolls. She has not always been scared of dolls. Just, you know, I guess since she has been there.
Tasha Cox is also being charged with failing to report child abuse. The daycare operator says she stands behind her workers, who are not employed while the charges are pending.
A doctor who was terminated by UK Hospital in 2017 after authorities say child porn was discovered at his work is now facing a criminal charge. The University of Kentucky Police Department says forensic evidence has led to investigators issuing an arrest warrant for Ryan Keefe. According to WKYT, Keefe was arrested in North Carolina before being transferred to Lexington, where he is at the Fayette County Detention Center on child pornography charges. Keefe is accused of having pornography on a work computer while a pediatric resident at UK Hospital. The computer was still logged into his Google account, and investigators say they found several images of girls along with pictures of Keefe and his wife at the time.
Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight a 30% chance of showers with a low around 36. Saturday, increasing clouds with a high near 64. Saturday night, a 20% chance of showers with a low around 51. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high near 63. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 41. Monday, a 20% chance of showers with a high near 79. Monday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 54. Taking a look at your region's temperatures, in Winchester, it's 64. Ashland, it's 56. Inez, it's 55. In Lexington, it's 65. In Flemingsburg, it's 61. And here in Moorhead, it's 63 degrees.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaf takes a closer look at an emerging view of men that could leave a lot of good people in a bind.
The other day, someone a generation or two younger than me asked about toxic masculinity. What is it? The person wondered. I did too. I'd heard the term, and recently a lot more often. I'd always thought it meant that certain behaviors associated with some males at some times could be metaphorically labeled as toxic or poisonous. But after a little digging, one finds that some defined masculinity itself as toxic by nature, that a man, being a man, is, ergo, poisonous. So which is it? Let's examine both views and see if we can live in peace with either. If toxic masculinity is a set of behaviors normally associated with males, but certainly not exclusive to them, then there is some choice. Pro-choice libertarians might argue that a person who chooses to be toxic in behavior or in thought is individually responsible, and therefore the problem. For all of the people behaving in toxic or poisonous ways, there is hope for transformation through education, conversation, imitation, and maturation. Toward this, even some college courses discussing toxic masculine behavior might be of value. But more ominously, and lately more popular as a view, is one that finds males are naturally toxic, spoiled by nature from the get-go, monstrous predators, haters of women and all that is good. This view itself, one might say, is toxic, and here's why. Whether in spite of their culture or because of it, in this world there are good men. Their existence defies the theory of the phylogenetic toxicity of males, put as simply as a freedom-loving first grader could understand it. Just because some people in a group behave poorly, one should not condemn the entire group. Of course, a man would argue that some men are good. Maybe that's an overstatement. Men can be good, just as all people can. Males can choose to be good. Men can be cultured with goodness, assumptions that are positive, expectations that demand excellence. But to tell them that since their gonads dropped, they are beasts, unchangeably bent toward toxicity, this is not going to help anyone choose well. Not only is the toxic masculinity movement in its more radical forms dangerous to men, it is dangerous to all persons working to live and enjoy life with or even as a man. What is this theory saying to people who are in transition? How cruel can you get? Yeah, go ahead, we support your right to choose, but if you choose this, you become toxic. I'm John Modaf.
Dr. John Modaf is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. The time is 4:48. I'm Jacob Lindberg, here with Naya Andwaza, and we're glad you joined us on this Friday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated. Featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
The Eagles are battling it out in Tennessee. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The softball Eagles face off with Austin Peay this afternoon. Moorhead dropped the first matchup 10-2. The second game is currently in progress in Clarksville. Head coach Samantha Jones expected tough competition going into today's game.
Coach Wonderly has a relationship with her, and they just have a good background. They have a good history of a winning program. I mean, they're going to be tough. And they're just all around sound defense and offense. And so we're going to have to be on our A game when it comes to that, trying to get all three to work together and hopefully focus on our game and not let the external sources and resources just kind of get to us and affect us in a negative way.
The Eagles travel to Murray State tomorrow. A doubleheader is slated for Sunday afternoon with games at 1 and 3 p.m. Live stats are available at msueagles.com. Morehead State Baseball hits the road to take on conference foe Jacksonville State this weekend. It's the first of four remaining series matchups in the Ohio Valley Conference for the Eagles. MSU has struggled on the road this season, something head coach Mike McGuire says will have to change down the stretch.
You know, we're a game out of first, so we still control all of our own destiny, which is great. I think that's one of the things you want to stay away from late in the year is when you need help. That part is we've got some very important games ahead of us. Obviously, this weekend at Jacksonville State is a pivotal series, I think, in determining standings.
The Eagles come into the game at 27-17 overall and 11-7 record in conference action. Jacksonville State is 21-19 overall and 12-6 in conference play. First pitch is set for 7 o'clock tonight. The Rowan County baseball team is back in action tonight. The Vikings are headed to the Louisville Invitational Tournament where they will face off with Scott County, Collins, and Pleasure Ridge Park. Rowan grabbed two wins from Bath County earlier this week. Head coach Scott Collins says this weekend's stiff competition will be a good test for his Vikings.
This year, you know, we think we've got some pieces to go down there and possibly compete with those guys. But, you know, it'll give us a guiding point to see where we are and where we stack up. So we're looking forward to it. We've not gone down and played teams like that in the 7 years that I've been a part of the coaching staff here in Rowan County. So it'd be a good experience for us either way.
Game time tonight is set for 8:30 p.m. Saturday's matchup with Collins is set for 2:15, and the Vikings meet Pleasure Ridge Park at 4:30. Taking a look at some other regional baseball games scheduled for the weekend, East Carter hosts Sheldon Clark tonight, Fleming hosts Lewis County, Menifee hosts Rose Hill Christian, Ashland Blazer travels to Russell, and Bath travels to Robertson County. On Saturday, West Carter hosts a doubleheader with Frederick Douglass and Nicholas County. Game times are set for 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. Also on Saturday, Raceland hosts Manchester, Ohio at 6 p.m., and Morgan County travels to Frederick Douglass for a 6:30 matchup. In regional softball action, Bath County travels to Montgomery County tonight at 5:30, and Menifee hosts Fairview at 6. On Saturday, Raceland will travel to Owensboro for the All-A Classic. They'll face Middlesboro, Carroll County, and Brown. Elliott County hosts the Battle in the Hook this weekend. They'll face off with Sheldon Clark at 11:15 on Saturday. Prestonsburg and Fairview will also play in the Round Robin tournament. The Rowan County softball team is also on the road this weekend. The Vikings head to the Bluegrass versus Buckeye Showcase at Dixie Heights on Saturday. They'll face the host school at 9 a.m. The Colonels are 10-8 on the season. The Vikings meet Ursuline Academy out of Cincinnati, Ohio at 11:30. Head coach Larry Sloan says his team is focused on playing their own game.
Trying to just do the things we can do to the best of our ability, and we can't control the other team if we don't know them or how to play them or anything. We just go into it blind, and hopefully we will continue to do the things that we know we can do well.
Rowan returns home on Tuesday for a doubleheader with Menifee. A star Kentucky football player is headed south to play in the NFL. Paul Miles reports.
Hello.
Is Josh there?
Yes, sir.
Josh, Dave called with the
Josh Allen is headed to Jacksonville. The UK defensive star was chosen by the Jaguars as the 7th overall pick in the NFL draft.
Right now, I'm so excited, man. It's a perfect fit for me and my family, and man, I just can't get ready. I'm ready to work.
Allen is the 17th player in UK history selected in the first round and is UK's highest draft pick since Dwayne Robertson was selected as the 4th pick by the Jets in 2003. The All-American is UK's career sacks leader. I'm Paul Miles.
And finally in sports this afternoon, the Reds head to St. Louis for a weekend series against the Cardinals. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
Cincinnati looks to keep the momentum going after taking 2 out of 3 from the Atlanta Braves. The Reds send right-hander Anthony DeSclafani to the mound tonight. He's coming off his best outing of the year, allowing only 1 run on 2 hits against the San Diego Padres last Friday. The Cardinals counter with right-hander Miles Michaelis, who pitched 8 strong innings in his last appearance, a 10-2 win over the New York Mets last Saturday. After starting 1-9, the Reds have gone 9-5 over their last 14 and are now only 4 games under .500. First pitch between the Reds and Cardinals is set for 8:15 p.m. tonight from Busch Stadium. For WMKY Sports, I'm Joe Lewis.
And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball will host Murray State for a series of 3 games next weekend, May 3rd through the 5th. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks traded slightly higher as investors weighed better than expected economic data against a mixed batch of quarterly earnings. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 81.25 at 26,543.33. The S&P 500 was up 13.71 at 2939.88. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 27.72 at 8146.40. First quarter gross domestic product grew by 3.2%, according to the Commerce Department, and this topped the consensus estimate of 2.5%. Dow member Exxon fell more than 2% after the company's results were dragged down by poor performances in its refining and chemicals businesses. Intel, another Dow component, fell 9% after the company issued light revenue guidance for the year. The stock was also headed for its biggest one-day drop since 2008. Amazon shares were 2.5% higher after their results topped expectations and Wall Street analysts trumpeted its announced push to one-day delivery for Prime members. And Ford had a very strong day-to-day, finishing up over 10% after a report, or I should say after issuing better-than-forecast quarterly numbers, which were driven by strong truck and SUV sales. Other companies that reported between yesterday afternoon and Friday morning included Mattel, Starbucks, and American Airlines. The S&P and NASDAQ are both on pace for solid gains this week, and of course the S&P 500 and NASDAQ also closed at all-time highs today. In the commodities markets, oil is down 3.6% at $62.86 a barrel, while gold rose 0.625% at $1,287.80 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a fair day with the Stock 600 index up 0.2%. In Asia, most markets were down with the Nikkei down 0.2% and the Shanghai Composite down 1.2%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were United Health Group and Procter & Gamble. The worst performers were Intel and ExxonMobil. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Ford and Align Technologies, and the worst performers were Intel and Target. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Kroger down 77 cents at 25, Community Trust Bank up 88 cents at 42.36, Marathon Petroleum down 27 cents at 60.38, CSX up 63 cents at 79.17, Humana up 607 at 257.93, and Valvoline was up 15 cents to finish at 18.43. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Moorhead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight, a 30% chance of showers with a low around 36. Saturday, increasing clouds with a high near 64.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today, we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Leanne Akers, Keneally Roberts, Cassidy Stearman, Grant Johnson, Shamari Mosley, Tandy Wallingford, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Chaz Jenkins, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature commentary today came from MSU professor Dr. John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Naya Andwaza and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All things considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.